Hello, everybody, and welcome to our INE Office Hours call for the month of November 2017. This is a call where we get together to discuss whatever might be on your mind related to whichever program you happen to be in at the time. So we have some people from our CMDS, Clinical Mastery of the Digestive System. We have some people from our Insulin Resistance Program, IRSPT, and we have some people from our NEPT, which is our full nutritional endocrinology practitioner training. So whichever program you're in, I'm excited to have you here with us today as we head into the beginning of the intense holiday season here in the U.S. Next week is our Thanksgiving, and then we head right into Christmas. So I'm happy to be here to support you. It's probably a tough time for our patients and our clients because of all the temptations and the emotional eating gremlins that rear their ugly heads at this time. And especially if you've just put somebody on a really nice protocol to help heal their gut or get their blood sugar balanced or overall get them more energy. A lot of times there's a lot of self-sabotage at this time of year. So if you're relatively new to coaching, know that that's normal, that you're going to see a lot of that. And you're also going to see some people that just kind of maybe cancel their appointments or don't show up because they get distracted or because they feel guilty about having blown it, basically. So our job is to support them, both from a standpoint of suggestions as to diets and supplements and herbs and protocols that can help heal, but also from the standpoint of that emotional guidance to help them through the tough times and really keep them connected to their big why so that they make decisions. An interesting conversation this morning with one of my team members, and she said to me, I was up till pretty late last night getting some work done, and I had typed some, you know, Skyped her a message figure, and she was going to get it in the morning, and her husband heard the Skype going, and he basically said to her, don't let her fool you. She probably lives on coke and no dose. That's the only way anybody, any normal human could be staying up so late and have all this energy and be able to get so much done. And that's her secret. And I had to laugh. And I said, well, my secret is actually not that. My secret is actually all the greens and the good food and that positive attitude and the meditation and the exercise and all the diet and lifestyle things we know about. Because when I was in my 20s and I was, you know, in a very stressful, high paying and high profile job in my 20s, I lived on not coffee, because I hated coffee, never have drunk coffee, but I lived on Diet Coke and black tea. I mean, literally 10 or more cups of it a day just to keep me going. And I didn't have half the energy I have now, even on all those stimulants, right? So there's so much that we can do to support our people. And it's not my genetics. I've shared with some of you my genetics. They're really not so good. There's no old people in my family. Nobody else in my family has my energy or, you know, my body structure. And it's not that they don't have the same genetic tendency towards it as we don't. It's the work. And so many times for you as well as your clients, it get into that, you know, oh yeah, but that chocolate cake, the pumpkin pie, the grandma's, you know, apple pie and ice cream on top at this time of year, what does it hurt? And what you're going to see is a lot of your people spiral at this time of year. They say, yeah, just one piece of apple pie isn't going to hurt me. And then three pieces later and the cookies and everything else, because it triggers that emotional eating component. And then they say, screw it. I'll just do this. I'll just get back on track after the first of the year. And what happens after the first of the year has nothing to do with them getting back on track. It has to do with them struggling and struggling. And maybe they do it for a few weeks. But in general, people are picking up a few extra pounds each year. Their guts are getting a little bit more depleted each year. And we need to be there to pick up the pieces. So it's best if you can help support people. Reach out to them now and support them through the holidays. Give them some resources to help them, really cool, delicious recipes. I'm going to be doing a show, an online kitchen show on Saturday where I'm going to just make a lot of my favorites that are delicious and nutritious and can help satisfy those cravings. And that's stuff that you can do too. You can do little classes in your home. I know Laura Ricci, I just saw her come on a little while ago. She does that. She does these classes and she does them in her home or she'll do them in a community center and she gets people out there and they get excited and they get motivated and they're going to really have much more probability of success through the season than the average person who doesn't and just succumbs to the temptations. So I didn't mean to go on to a tyrant about that, but it was really hot on my mind because I know that at this time of year, a lot of those clients try to like hide in the woodwork, right? Either because they're too busy or they're too guilty because they know they've gone off track and they're going to come back and see you at the first of the year so you can help them get back on track. But oh man, it's so much easier to help keep them from going off track than it is to try to get them back on track. So just a little word of wisdom from my 25 plus years of experience in doing this. And I know how it felt when I was first working with people and you feel like, oh my God, what am I doing wrong? And reach out and support them. So we're here today to answer whatever questions you have, share some successes with us. If you've been applying the materials you've been learning, what successes, what people have you touched and reached? We love to hear that. And where do you need help? So the way that you can do that is if you're on the telephone line, star 2 raises your hand. If you're on the web, there's 2 boxes. One is the chat, which allows you to do the back and forth with everybody else in the community. And the Q&A is a great way to answer questions. On large calls, then the Q&A is the best way because the chat goes by so fast, it's hard to keep up with. But if the call stays relatively small, then either way works. It depends on whether you have a private comment or a question or whether you want to share it with the group, of course. So I like to start with the Q&A. Because people who couldn't make it to the call might have put their questions in, and it looks like I have. Any team master, I want to know if the release of schedule of new modules is still on the 11th of every month upon completion of the previous month. I would have to ask my team about that. I think it varies from person to person, Kong, as to when they got started. But once you get
actually,
out,
I can speak to that.
Yeah.
So we've got it set up now so that as he takes the module, as he finishes the module and checks off the boxes and finishes his exams, the next one should open. And for those Perfect. Of you in NEPT, you would have just gotten an email that modules 20 and 21 are now completely open, and 22 is coming up here shortly.
Fantastic. Yeah, so, but we, you will get there. So if you're up to that, you'll have that open. So great. Fantastic. Thank you. Good question. All right. That's the only question I had there. Let me refresh and see. Okay. Let me go to chat and everybody says they hear me. Rosemary, just checking in to listen for this first call. Wonderful, Rosemary. Thanks for being here. These calls, we have them every month. Everybody that joins IRSP2 or CMDS usually gets a set number. I don't remember off the top of my head how many. It might be 3 or 6 or 5, or it depends on which program. And then in NEPT, you just get it for the duration, your 2 years of being in the program. So I love to have you here. If you have questions, comments, anything at all, whether it's questions about the materials that you're learning, so, you know, hey, I was confused about this or how do I apply that, feel free to ask those. And then if you have questions about a particular person that you're working with and how to apply it to that particular person, then you can ask those questions. And if you have any like lab questions, this is not a forum for like big blown out, you know, send me a bunch of labs and I can do it. We do that on NEPT on our monthly calls for that, for labs. But if you have a question about a lab, you want to ask me about it, if there's a particular stool test that just came back, we can take a quick look at that. I mean, there's any number of things that we could be doing here with our time together. So I'm going to go back into the chat. I don't see any. I see Janine. Who else is here? Rosemary, Lynn, Annette, Janet. Okay. And then on the phone, I also see Laura and Eva and Tony and Paolo and Timothy Thomas. That's somebody else. Who's Timothy Thomas? I know it's not Timothy. I think it's somebody else. Michelle Gutman, wireless caller from Cuero. That's Glenn. Just to get to know these.
I'm guessing that's Melody.
Oh, Melody. Melody Thomas. That's right. Okay, cool. Yeah, great. I get to learn them. I know Cuero is Glenn. He's locally here to me in Texas. And Laura. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Dr. Rita Marie. I had a random question kind of about my own journey, but I did make an appointment to see an infectious disease doctor, basically to ask about the IVIG. Mm-hmm. And it didn't go well with the doctor, but I saw the physician's assistant yesterday, and they had run a ton of blood work, and really everything came back normal except the Coxsackie viral titers.
Ooh.
They said were really high. And I guess that's hand, mouth, and foot from what they were telling me. And it's just interesting to me that, like he said, you don't have it active, but you've had it and it's still very elevated in your system, very similar to the Epstein-Barr viral titers that I had done. So it's just interesting to me that all these viral things are coming up and that IgG subclass 3 has been low on me for several years. And so I asked the physician's assistant because the doctor didn't seem very open to talking about it. My main purpose of going there was to see if we could get insurance to cover the IVIG, just to see if it would help with the headaches and some of the fatigue.
Yeah.
And so he did kind of look at that and say, I'll ask the doctor and we'll just kind of see. But he basically told me that it was chronic fatigue syndrome. And he was like, oh, we can put you on a, you know, antidepressant. I was like, oh, my gosh.
Oh,
no.
My God. And you're like, you don't know who you're talking to, doctor. I know more than you do about this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I was just like, that's like the third doctor who's told me that it's chronic fatigue syndrome. It's so interesting
Which
to me that they're like,
exist.
Oh, my gosh, you have this really, yeah. But they're like, oh, these viral titers are really, really high. But that's not what this is. You have chronic fatigue.
But it's not what it is, right?
Yeah, it's just, it's very strange. I mean, I'm taking with a grain of salt of, okay, I got some new information about this Coxsackie virus, but I guess I was wondering if you had any advice regarding that. I'm really trying to boost my immune system in a holistic way with working with a lot of things.
Right.
And I kind of have my fingers crossed that maybe this physician's assistant might be open to helping me with the IVG, but at the same time, I'm like not holding my breath because the doctor was kind of like, you don't need this. That's not what's going on. There's no such thing as chronic Epstein-Barr and all these things.
Oh boy. So, you know, I would be certainly looking at boosting your immune system. And I think, you know, I would do a rotating round of antiviral kind of herbs, right? So there's certain ones that, and maybe research if there's some specifically and nothing comes to mind for Coxsackie, because I know there's certain ones for Epstein-Barr that make a difference. But I would say, but rotating, because those viral, you know, it's just like they get adapted to it really quickly and then they don't work anymore. So I would always put people on, you know, 5 days maybe. 4 or 5 days of one and then another and then another and then another and come back around. Right. And so, you know, combining that with some of the essential oils that tend to have that really good antiviral type. I mean, because you've got oregano and thyme and basil and a whole bunch of others that have good antiviral properties. But, you know, coming up with a protocol like that and really highly nourishing, which I know you do all the time, right? Highly nourishing your body, eliminating sugars, you do all that kind of stuff. So I'm just repeating it for the people listening so they know I'm not just jumping into herbs and stuff. But I think like Isatis is one to look into, Codonopsis maybe, although that has more of an adaptogenic, but I think it has some antiviral properties. Echinacea has some antiviral properties. But that's what I would do is trying to get on a routine or in a rotating path of that to try to just help bring, there must be levels down if the titers are that high up. You know what I mean?
It just
seems to me that, yeah, the titers can be elevated because you've had exposure in the past, but usually those are low grade levels. And if you're showing fairly high levels, then I would say there's probably still something active in your system.
Yeah, like high on Western medicine testing.
Yeah, oh, high on there, not even, like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like it all showed up on red, and I was like, oh, man, that's a really great idea. I like that a lot to kind of rotate. And I'm starting to wonder, Dr. Rita Marie, like, I just have such a challenge with healing my gut.
Yeah.
Like when I do green smoothies, or even when I like cook my greens, I tried kind of going off of the raw for a while and just doing more cooked things. It seems like no matter what I eat right now, I have to take digestive enzymes with my meals. Oh gosh, if I forget those, I really, really don't feel good. I'm just wondering if these like underlying viral things, if that's kind of like the missing piece with me with healing my gut, because still just struggling with like the bloating and just like discomfort after I eat. And I went on the low FODMAPs SCD diet for like 6 weeks with the SIBO and just kind of trying some different things. And I'm just starting to wonder, if this, like if you've got those viral things, that can make, maybe that's, because I just kind of feel like I'm, I don't know. It's been a little bit of a challenge with the gut stuff.
So. With your gut and getting it really healed. I'm thinking about zinc. How's your zinc? Have you done zinc tally to test it? Have you looked at your alkaline phosphatase? Is your zinc low?
The alkaline phosphatase, from what I could tell the last time they checked it, was okay. But when I do a zinc taste test, it's still really low.
Still really low.
Like it takes a while before I feel that metallic-y.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And zinc is so important for your immune system. It's important for the gut lining. It's important for the production of digestive enzymes. I mean, it's important for blood sugar. I mean, 200, 300 different enzymes it's important for. So that's a super important one. And it is a hard one to get the levels up. And sometimes you have to go super high. Liquid zinc, if that doesn't work, you can try the various forms of zinc, zinc picolinate, zinc. What's the one that's good for the gut? It just went out of my mind. Zinc picolinate, zinc citrate, zinc taurate. But there's a particular one that's... thank you. Carnitine.
Yeah,
so that would be a good one for you to be looking at. And do your, like anything else, do your zincs in multiple forms too. Dr. Amy Asko, who I studied with a while back, she does a lot of work with autistic kids and looking at methylation. And when she looks at taking particular kinds of nutrients that are low, like she'll say, get B12 in all the different ways and all the different forms, just to make sure you're covering your bases. You know, chew it in the gum and put it on the patch on your skin and drink it in a tincture. Do methyl, not cyano, but do methyl, do adeno, do hydroxy. Just do a bunch of different ones. Rotate them around to try to get your body stimulated to get the levels up. And it may be true with the zinc as well, right? Try several different types and have a little bit of each day, or have 3 days of one version and more of another, but you really need to get the levels high sometimes in order to overcome the deficiency, especially if mom or grandma were deficient while they were pregnant. And, you know, the studies show that.
I'm pretty sure they were. Yeah,
when I think about my mama, smoking cigarettes, eating refined food, you know, drinking alcohol. I think she was a little deficient. So, and you just have to be really on top of it. And I've had people with the taste tests where they've gotten all the way up to 90 a day, like three doses of it, three times a day, and gotten up to 90 milligrams before they actually tasted it. And once they did and kept it there for a while, it then suddenly you hit the threshold and it goes down. I've had people where it took months to get there, but now, you know, I just have them testing it once a month or once. First, it was once a week. Once they were like, oh, this stuff is gross, I said, great, don't take it for a week. Take it in a week again. Oh, this stuff is still gross. Okay, do that. Great. You're maintaining it 3-4 weeks, then go and test it a month later. And if you're still maintaining it, great. But if you're exposed to somebody who has a cold, or, you know, you have a tooth infection or anything comes up, test it again, right? So be on top of it to be really meeting your varied needs.
That helps a lot. And I like the idea because I've just been using one type of liquid zinc.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't think about rotating those out. Yeah, that's a really good idea.
Yeah. Thank I mean, it's, it doesn't, it, zinc's inexpensive enough that you can just get a whole bunch of different types and just rotate them around and just see. And you might notice that, wow, I just started taking this, you know, 20 milligram capsule of zinc citrate along with my liquid. And now I'm starting to taste this liquid more. Right? So just play with it and be your own experiment ground.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Are there certain ones? I mean, I think the one that I'm using is like the Premier Research Lab, the liquid
Premier
one. Are there any other?
Yeah. There's Trace Minerals, but Trace Minerals is really potent. It's really strong. So some people get nauseous with it. I mean, really, the zinc tally is just a diluted version of the same thing because it's all zinc sulfate, but it's much more potent. So some people dilute it a lot more. Good State has a good potent zinc, but it's not quite as potent as the Trace Minerals, but it, and most people don't get nauseous with that one, although I've had a few that did. And then, you know, there's the capsules where you can do zinc picolinate, zinc citrate, zinc carnosine, and that one's had a lot of studies with the gut, with healing the gut. So have you looked at butyrate?
Thank you.
Have you looked at your stool and looked at butyrate levels? Because, you know, you just may not be getting enough butyrate levels, and then you're not feeding the short chain, it's just one of the short chain fatty acids, and it's not feeding the flora, I mean the lining.
That's a really good question. I had a stool test done not too long ago. And I don't think, like originally, we've done a couple since the beginning of this year, where originally the candida was really, really high, but that was right after my two hip surgeries.
Right.
And then we retested and that had come down, and then it was just kind of a matter, I've been tweaking my probiotics a little bit based off of that. I don't remember if that came up.
Well, look at the butyrate, not just like, is it in the normal range, but look at it in relationship to the rest. Because sometimes you might have it really at the low end versus like the propionate or whatever else is at the higher end. So it might be worth looking at. And then just making sure
that you get enough
BIF. You know, just make sure you're getting enough bifidus.
Yeah, I do. I'm on a probiotic that I rotate one that has a couple different bifidus, and I was like, okay.
Right.
The stool test was very eye-opening for me in that way. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah, thank you. I feel like I'm so close. I feel like it's just that last little 20% that I'm kind of going after.
Well, go for the zinc, especially since you're saying that it typically shows up low. And don't be afraid to pump it up. Don't be afraid to get up to 90 if you have to. And you'd be surprised that once you reach that threshold. And then zinc, you know, because zinc is so important for digestive function, that if you have poor digestive function, you can't absorb it well. But if you have low zinc, you can't have good digestive function. So you have to just, like, push the envelope on it to go over the threshold.
Mm. Yeah, it's kind of catch 22.
It is. It is. Yeah. All right. And go with what you feel comfortable. Like if you can't get the higher levels of the liquid just because it does, you know, you have a sensitive stomach, it makes you nauseous, then instead just do partial. Do some of it in the liquid and some of it in capsules.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. Lately I've noticed it's interesting. It didn't bother me before, but now, like I used to be able to, you know, take some of my capsules or like all of my supplements kind of in the morning with breakfast. And now it's almost like I've got to space it out a little bit, like my tummy.
Because it irritates your tummy. You know, I would also work on mucus in your stomach, right? Look at that, replenishing that slippery hill marshmallow. I know they're higher FODMAP, but you don't take a lot of it. It's not like sitting down and eating a whole plate full of slippery hill. But look at, see if you can do some of that to start to rebuild. DGL, right? DGL, if you tolerate that.
Yeah.
And just start to really work at that. Because if your stomach is irritated by the cellulose in there, it could be that the lining is just thinned.
Yeah. And that makes sense, because there was a time where I kind of felt like the lining was fluffing off, like seeing some of that. So, yeah.
seeing some of that? Like, what, you're spitting it up, or you're seeing it in your poop?
Yeah, like seeing it in my stool, and I don't know. That was a time that I swear it was worms. And
oh, I remember you sent me a picture.
They, yes, I was like, this looks like a worm, and everybody, even in the lab, was like, that's a worm. And then the testing came back and was like, no, it's just mucus. It's just like the sloughing off of the. And I was like, well, whatever it is.
Yeah. And you know what? Here's the thing, right? You've been through how many surgeries in the last few years? Those poor hips. Hopefully the last ones are done.
Yeah.
But you're in the hospital. You're on medications. As little as you try to take, you still have to take the pain medications, the anesthesia. All this stuff is an aggravant to your digestive lining.
Yeah. Yeah.
So take good care of it and help it plump back up. Vitamin A and B1 are also really important for fluffing up and plumping up the mucous membrane. Vitamin A is important for any secretory membrane, right? Any of the IgA-coated surfaces, I think vitamin A. And then B1 is supposed to provide the fuel for those enterocytes to plump up, or the gastrocytes in the stomach. So you might consider that. Mm.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Great.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good to talk to you. Doing any classes this year? Are you back on your feet enough to do that?
Cooking classes?
Yeah.
No, I haven't done cooking classes. I've been doing like monthly virtual classes in a Facebook group, which is fun, and I enjoy that. I really like the virtual platform. I've been teaching. AMLO National Bank, they hired me to teach like a couple series of lectures on like sleep and reducing your toxic load and different things, and those were really fun. Yeah, it was awesome. And I class on self-care. I love talking about that. So that's been fun, but it's been a little bit of a challenge, like just standing for an hour, my hips will start to kind of bother me a little bit.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
And I love the cooking classes, but it is like with the prep before and after, and then I'm standing for like maybe an hour, hour and a half to teach. I was like, we'll get there.
You'll get there. It's still fun soon. That's what I was thinking. You probably haven't done that until maybe, but next year for sure at the holiday time. Such a great way to get people, right? Because they want to learn how to make these holiday meals healthier. And it's a great way to get people inspired, for those of you who haven't done the classes. Karen Osborne and Tony, I think they're doing one tonight, actually. Tony, if you're on, we'll open your line and you can tell us. But they're doing one in Karen's kitchen where Karen's going to be showing some recipes from her amazing holiday recipe guide. And then Tony's going to talk about some tips for, you know, keeping the self-care going during the holidays. And those are great ways to reach people. And they're just going on Zoom to do it. So the technology has gotten so amazing. And you might be able, because Karen has the broken knee, you know. So she's just starting to get back into this. But I think you might even, if you're doing it at home, you can just run recipe on your Facebook group just to have fun. And then sit while you do it. Get a stool and sit at the counter and do it. But you can't really do that when you're got people in front of you. It's hard to do. So just a thought.
I like that. Yeah, I can just like put the table in a nice position and kind of stand for a little bit and sit. That's a good idea.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. There's ways to do it. And then it combines the platform that you like, which is the virtual, which helps you reach a lot of people. And for everybody, you know, it's really it's a great way to get to people. When I first started doing classes in my home, it was back in, 2006. I did them years before that, but then, you know, once I was more established in this home. But 2006 is when I started, so that was like 11 years ago. I can't believe it. And it was so fun to get people in and show them. I had a holiday class. I had, you know, a dehydration class. And it was just so fun and got people so motivated. I had people who I'd been talking to, or friends and family members and just – or their family members, I've been talking to them for years about upping their game on their diet. And once they came to my classes and they could taste the food and see how easy it was to make, they just like jumped right in. So it's just such a great way to inspire people.
Mm, yeah. And then I think when they see it too, they're like, oh, that's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. Like, that's really easy. And you're
that
like,
was
yeah,
really
that's
easy. And oh my God, it tastes good. Cause they expect it's going to all like health food tastes like cardboard, right? It's going to all taste like carrots and celery.
Yeah.
And that's it. And then they go, oh my God, wow. That chocolate mousse was really pretty awesome. And did you really put avocado in there? I know I saw you do that, but yeah, it's kind of cool. So thank you for sharing and stimulating me to start to share on this. Thanks.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, bye. See if Tony's there.
I'm
so
here.
Tony, yeah, there you are. Is your class tonight? I think it's tonight, right?
It is. It's actually Karen's class, and
Karen's
you know
class.
She because you know she broke her leg, and I'm just a sous chef. I help her prep. She's doing she's doing all the discussions about her recipes. I'm just the entourage, but it's gonna be wonderful. It's gonna be wonderful. So I hope you all will show up and. I wish we could give you samples through Zoom, but we can't.
I believe that someday that technology will exist. Because, I mean, if somebody years ago would have talked about how you can see people, right, that was like the science fiction. We're going to see people when we talk to them on the phone. And now it's like everybody does it on their little cell phone. You know, it's like that's nothing technology. Hear people across these wires. Well, it used to be wires. Now it's just invisible packets of energy that flow through, and I can talk to you, and you're not that far away from me today, but typically you're across the country from me. It's insane when you think about that. Like years ago, it would have been thought insane. So why not? I'm just holding it out. If we can hear that smell and taste are next to come.
I hope so. I hope so. And Laura wanted to just let you know too that if you could get some sous chefs to help you prep, because I mean I don't have bad hips, and that was hardest for me was doing all the prep work, and hiring somebody to help you out with that or volunteering if they get to sample might be the way to go. If you're missing doing that, if you're not, then yeah, you're good.
Right. Then wait. I know. I used to give people like they'd come to the class free and they'd get donation. They get. You know, the handouts and everything else and the food if they helped out. And that worked really well. We got some really good people.
Well, thank you for letting me promote Karen's class. I appreciate it.
Put the link in the chat so everybody has it.
Okay.
It's free, right? It's not a paid class. Yeah, it's free.
Of course not.
Go for it. And only the first 100 can get on, right? Because you've got limited.
Yeah, we've got 70 so far who signed in and still going up. So we hopefully everybody will show up.
That's awesome. That's great.
It's all about Karen.
I'm so happy that she's doing it. I mean, she's been really doing great with her recovery, so I'm excited for her.
Absolutely. Well, I will put some information in the chat. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye. All right. Who else has a question? Let me go back to the chat and see, and then I'll go to the Q&A and see. Let's see. Okay. So it looks like Janine. I haven't had BO in years, but the past few weeks I've had horrible BO. The only thing I started using bulletproof collagen powder and started Scram for parasite cleansing. Okay, I was going to ask you if you're doing a cleanse. So here's what happens. You know, body odor is really the body eliminating toxins and they smell. And, you know, usually it's like if you sweat and your clothes, it sits there. It's the clothing and the bacteria that build up. So, because you're cleansing, the Scram is going to help your body to release toxins and they're killing these organisms and they're releasing their own toxins. So that could be related too. That could definitely be related. I don't know about the collagen though, but I mean the collagen, you know, could be, but I wouldn't relate, but definitely the Scram. All right. So chat, let's see. Ooh, you guys have been chatting away while I was talking to Laura. Let's see. Lynn, you said make sure to stay hydrated with HFM, and I'm not sure what you meant by HFM. And then you listed a bunch of herbs. Oh, antivirals, right? Lemon balm, astragalus, peppermint, garlic, thyme, sage, elderberry, licorice, calendula, echinacea, St. John's wort, oregano, usnea, V. propolis.
Yeah, she has hand, foot, and mouth, right?
yeah, Coxsackie virus.
Right.
Okay.
AHM had that once a long time ago, and that those are some of the things that I had used. That I remember making sure that they stayed really well hydrated was important, as well as making sure they got real deep rest. And then I put some of the other things down there that I made.
That you've used. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of that you can incorporate into food. So that's really good.
Exactly.
Yep. Perfect. Thank you. Oh, and she also put down serve soups and stews rich in immune building onions, garlic, leeks, ginger, kale, cabbage, broccoli. If you're self or sensitive, you may, you know, vary the amounts of that and just do to your tolerance. Broths of miso, burdock, astragalus, celery, garlic, seaweed. So perfect. Yay. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Rosemary, okay, question. I have having upper lower colonoscopy gut lining biopsy next week, partly for screening for insurance guidelines. Family history of colon cancer, but mainly due to I'm having issues with wheat and other grains and want to be screened for health of microvilli permeability. Okay, so hopefully you're off of the wheat. If you're having trouble with it, you actually got to get off of it. So that's a really good thing to be doing if you have any kind of gut issues. So the question is, gastro is open. Should I make sure to get done for one-stop shopping to screen for gut issues while I'm cleaned out and under? I'm not sure what you mean by screened for gut issues. I mean, that's what they're doing, right? They're going to go in and look, but they're not going to see a colonoscopy isn't going to get into the small intestine. They're not going to be able to see the microvilli in there. The only way, I mean, you have an endoscopy, which goes from the top down. That goes through the stomach and the upper part of the small intestine and the duodenum. And then you've got the colonoscopy, which stops at the ileocecal valve. So it's just the large intestine. So really to look at the cells, it's challenging. And they can do an endoscopy and pull parts out to see if there's any microvillus atrophy and all. But, yeah, I'm not sure what you mean by screening for gut issues. Okay. Apollo says, I thought BO was the wrong bacteria on the skin that eat the sweat. It's basically, yes, it can be wrong bacteria, certainly, right? But if the sweat is containing toxins or specific kinds of proteins, that provides fuel for even good bacteria to eat. And so you'll have a problem with that. So that's what I find. I find that the body odor comes, for me, I don't generally have body odor unless, let's see, I'm really nervous and there's a lot of pheromones coming through and those kind of chemicals, like I'm supposed to be going on an interview or something, and I sweat, oh my God, that's not what I want to be doing, right? And then when's the other time? Actually, that's it. It's really when it's very nervous or if I sweat and then I stay in the clothes without taking them off, then the clothes start to build up and the bacteria starts to grow there. Janine said, I've been using biofilm breakers, so also when detoxing, I'm releasing toxins to get in the way. Yep, absolutely. I've done that, and detoxing, that's the other thing. When I do a 3-day water fast, I wake up on the third day, like my entire body is covered in sweat. It's the only time I've ever had what people describe as night sweats. I have it if I'm detoxing, and it's that third day, and it's like, whoa, you don't come near me, but it's like all this toxicity just like coming on out. Oh, so Rosemary says he's doing the small intestine biopsy as well. Yeah, so I don't know what other additional things you might be thinking about, but I don't know of any others. Didn't know if there's a better biopsy than others. Biopsies are not my area of expertise, so I don't really know about that. Paulo, anybody catch the article by Jill Carnahan on fructan versus gluten issues. I haven't. I've heard people chat about that, that it's maybe not the gluten as much as the carbohydrate, you know, which gluten is a protein, the carbohydrate component of the gluten, of the wheat, and also other grains. So some people are grain sensitive, not just gluten sensitive, or not necessarily gluten sensitive. If you have a link to that, I'd love to see it, Paula. If you could put that in the chat, I would love to see it. All right. Janine says, I didn't know they could biopsy small intestine. Yeah, the upper part. So they'll go in with an endoscopy tube and they'll pull out pieces. They do that to check for microvillus atrophy in celiac. Cool. Thank you, Paulo. Paulo, last year when I think it was last year at Shine or the year before at Shine, Dr. Tom O'Brien was talking about that some people are not necessarily sensitive to gluten. They're sensitive to wheat, to the carb in there. Cool. Thank you. All right. Let's see if anybody else put questions in the other chat. And let's see if anybody else. Raise your hand, star two. And I'll get your questions. Let's see. Lynn DiMartini. I'm unable to get the chat option to work. Maybe exit all the way and then go back in, you know, use the link again or open it in a new browser. That's odd. Sometimes I've had that happen, but I've usually, if I go out and then come back in, it works. All right, star two raises your hand. Questions, comments? I see Eva and Melody. Allison just joined us, Dr. Ali from the UK. Hi. Anything you want to add? Maybe you can answer some of the questions about that biopsy if there's something else she's looking for. Hopefully I described it properly, but if you want to add something, that would be great. I'll open up your line. Whoops. There it is. Hi.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, you can. Goodness. That's great. Amazing. Yeah, no, I can't think of anything else. You know, I wouldn't be choosing the colonoscopy route in a sort of functional medicine capacity. I'd be using the techniques that we use within the INE, such as the lab testing to look at the Genova CMDS test and the other tests that you recommend, where we're looking at the microbiome and that side of things.
Right.
I think in terms of See, traditional medicine just misses so much. And so it will only pick up a problem with the microvilli when it is really, really extreme.
When it's completely blunted, right. Exactly.
Yeah. It's like my patients that I suggested go gluten-free, they get told by another doctor, oh, look, your celiac test is negative, so you don't need to avoid gluten anymore. Get that all the time.
Yeah, it's a lack of proper training and understanding in there. You just reminded me, a great test would be something like, the leaky gut test, and you can do that through Cyrex Labs, and that'll test for the presence of the zonulin, et cetera, in the bloodstream. The other one is a new one called the wheat zoomer, the gut zoomer, which I haven't run yet, so I can't really talk too much about. And then also the functional test, like the organic acids, which would pick up on the various of the toxins that are produced by gut bacteria that are out of balance. I'm you know, unless there's a family history of, you know, something severe and like somebody died of colon cancer and they were undiagnosed and maybe it could have been caught with a colonoscopy. I'm just not a big fan of colonoscopies. It's certainly not something I've ever gotten or planned to get. And, you know, there's definitely the downsides because you're under anesthesia and there's a risk of perforation. So.
Yeah. So if they've got familial polyposis coli, where you've got multiple polyps in the colon and a really strong family history of bowel cancer that goes with that, yes, you do need to have regular colonoscopies. At least every year. And I believe, although times may have changed, but my original learning was that with ulcerative colitis, there's an increased risk of colon cancer. And so they get offered a regular colonoscopy.
Of course, right, Rosemary says she has a problem with wheat and grains. My feeling is you got to avoid them, right?
Yeah.
Regardless of what the biopsy shows, you've got to avoid them with a history of colon cancer and any kind of bowel disease.
Yeah.
The organic acid is done via, I'm hearing myself echo, but the organic acid, Rosemary, is done via, I'm going to just pop your... I'm going to mute you. Yeah, I'm going to mute you for a sec. So, Rosemary, the organic acid is done through a couple of labs. I usually run it through Great Plains Lab, and you can actually go there on your own. They generally will let you set that up. Those in NEPT have access to be able to set their own accounts up in order for their clients because we've set that up, and they do it under my license. And then what was the other test that you asked about that I mentioned? Let's see. So just because somebody in your family died of colon cancer, sure, you know, so much of that is lifestyle, and you have the ability to turn that around. Yes, if you want to look, great, you know, to see if there's a risk, but also all the things that you do in your daily life and diet need to be reducing that risk. In CMDS, there's a section of the program on inflammatory bowel disease. A lot of that is good stuff to do as a precautionary stuff for the risk of colon cancer. And of course, you know, avoiding the processed foods, avoiding all the gut irritants, avoiding the weeds and the sugars and all that. So good stuff. Both had polyps, but they were benign. Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah, I can understand them recommending it to you with that family history. Okay. So Rosemary said she's going to do the gut Zoomer. Bring the Zoomer test results to these calls so we can go over them and learn them together. I haven't done them yet. We just had a call, Lynn and I, earlier in the week with a representative from there in terms of setting up our account. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you, Allie, for your input. Let's see. Anybody else? Hopefully Lynn DeMartini, did she get in? No? Bummer. Hate when that happens. Okay, anybody else? Questions? Comments?
She did get in.
Oh, she did. Okay, good.
Good.
I didn't see her name in there, so good. I'm glad. Who else? Questions? Comments? Anything you have to add, Lynn?
I was going to mention the Vibrant America test, too. So I'm looking forward to see all we can learn that way as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the Vibrant America is that wheat zoomer that Rosemary said she's getting. Yeah. They have a wheat zoomer, a gut zoomer, and a neural zoomer. And Dr. O'Brien is really excited about what they're doing there and the accuracy of the testing in terms of looking at leaky gut, looking at not just the anti-gliadin antibodies when you're talking about gluten sensitivities, but looking at the 20-some different components and constituents of it, which hopefully, if that's done, I don't know, I haven't looked into it, but if you avoid, a lot of times the blood tests, if you avoid gluten for more than a month, then they're not going to necessarily show. So I'm hoping that this one will pick up on that, but I'm not sure. I do have to look into that. But they do show signs of leaky gut, so they'll look at zonulin and other things like that, and then a whole bunch of antibodies related to the brain and the breach of the blood-brain barrier. So I'm excited about getting that set up and running a few of them and getting it under my belt, and I'll share how
to. And then they have the micronutrients test, too.
Oh, right. I was so excited when she described that because, you know, a lot of us have heard of the Nutrival test and
Spectracell,
right? But they're all in the, like, $650 range. So we don't recommend it to a lot of our clients. Not a lot of our clients are willing to do that. So we just kind of, you know, we have good tools for assessing based on symptoms and based on particular parameters and risk factors and all, which nutrients they may be low or high in, and we play with that. But this is a test that brings it down into the under $300 level, and it tests more than those. It tests not only the white blood cells, it tests the red blood cells, and it tests the serum for a variety of different nutrients. Plus, it includes the fatty acid profile, so you get to see omega-3, 6, 9 balance and the risk of, you know, high levels of prostaglandins as a result of imbalances there. So I'm super excited about that because it actually brings that testing into the realm of possibility for most people versus that $650 price tag on the other two is, you know, it's gulp. People don't want to do it, right? And, yeah, so I'm excited about that. Very excited. All right, let's see. Questions, comments? Star 2? You guys are so quiet today. Anybody have any interesting cases lately?
Yeah. Irene has a question. Okay. She says, I will be working with a new client with PCOS and infertility. Well, I'm excited. I'm a little nervous and need some guidance. Where should I start?
Okay. Well, where did you see? Oh, there it is. I missed it. Okay. Okay. So, PCOS, what do we know about PCOS? It's generally going to be related to insulin resistance, high testosterone, high DHEA, and more of a low levels of progesterone generally. So I would say the best start is going to be to look at everything you know how to do with blood sugar. I don't know if you're in CMDS or IRSPT, hopefully IRSPT. But I think that it would be you to start there, like looking at her hemoglobin A1C. Wow, I have to. Okay, so oh my God, I don't know. That's probably still very high. So I'd be looking at, you know, getting fasting insulins done, getting hemoglobin A1C tested, looking at their testosterone and DHEA. If you can get them to do a Dutch test, even better. But from a standpoint of intervention stuff is you just start with all the basic low glycemic diet. If you can get them to start testing their blood sugar, that's phenomenal. I mean, there are specific supplements and nutrients that are very, very helpful with PCOS, all the blood sugar balancing nutrients. But with the progesterone usually is low. Some people respond really well to Vitex, Vitex agnus castus, also known as chasteberry. Myo inositol is another one that's had good research. Here's one. Spearmint tea has been found to be helpful for people with PCOS. All of these are the supportive things, but you've got to go to the foundation and the basics, which is usually the diet is really, really out of balance and needs balance. So I would start working with getting all the allergens out, getting the refined foods out, getting the sugars out, getting them on some blood balancing. I've had people reverse the signs of, I don't know that they reversed their PCOS, but the signs that they had been diagnosed with of PCOS within 3 months. So I've had people go from 120 blood sugar with a hemoglobin A1C in the sixes and a fasting insulin at 30 down to normal within 3 months. So, but they were very, very, very rigorous and diligent with their diet. So that's where I would start, and then those supplements. So don't be nervous. Just do what you know how to do and motivate and inspire. Always start with motivating and inspiring them. Like, why do you want to get over this? What's your big why? For a lot of people with PCOS, it's, I want to have kids. I don't want to be infertile. I don't want whiskers on my face. I don't want the acne. You go, okay, what do you want? Oh, you want clear skin. You want a fertile body that can support a pregnancy and a birth. You want to have, you know, beautiful clear skin without acne and without whiskers, right? And you get them really, really into it so that they're motivated and inspired to do the work, because that's the biggie. It's doing the work. Okay, so Janet had a question. A few months ago, there was a video on vaccine for newborns and children. They offered a book ebook on a slower program, alternatives, et cetera. Does anybody know information? If you're talking about homeotherapeutics, I mean, there's actually in NEPT next month, our ACR, Advanced Clinical Resource Call, is with a woman who does homeotherapeutics, which basically she helps people to do homeopathic-based vaccines and other immune-supportive things. Pretty fascinating. I'm not sure if that's what you're looking at, Janet, or not. DHEA, Janine says, is low DHEA an indicator of insulin resistance? No, not necessarily, not at all. But high DHEA and high testosterone can be a sign of PCOS, that along with insulin resistance. Doreen is in CMDS. Yeah, so, you know, working on the basics of gut restoration, you know, the elimination diet, the eating really slowly, getting the junk out, but you might want to consider looking at the insulin resistance training because that goes very specifically into insulin resistance, which is what is at the heart of PCOS. Thank you. Homeoprophylaxis, yes. She called it homeotherapeutics as well. Let's see. Paulo, do we have a resource on mineral balancing, companions, ratio, synergists? Does that make sense? Not sure what the correct terminology is. Like, do you mean like which ones shouldn't be taking with which and what's the ratios of, you know, copper, zinc and all that? I mean, we don't have one particularly, not in CMDS or IRSPT in any case, but there's a book, The Micronutrient Revolution or something like that by Myra Colton, C-O-L-T-O-N, that might be a good resource for that. You know what? The Linus Pauling Institute has a lot of really good online mineral sites, like going into lots and lots of detail about the various minerals and micronutrients. In NEPT, we have a module that's about 25 hours long, and we take each individual micronutrient, all the vitamins, all the minerals, and we teach you about how they're absorbed, where they're absorbed, what their interactions are, what the food sources are, what the symptoms of excess, symptoms of deficiency, and things that you need to take in caution. But it's like a 25-hour module that is just chock full of information. Apollo, perfect. NEPT is the answer to all my questions. You know, well, it's my life's work. It's the stuff I've been working on for the last, well, 25 years actually in practice, but then, you know, 5-6 years before that working on my own health. And so I've poured everything into it, and I just keep adding more and more stuff to it because it's my baby. And, you know, I really want everything that I've learned and then some poured out into this work in an easy to learn way. I mean, not that it's easy to spend 25 hours studying micronutrients, but compared to how I had to do it, which was, you know, traveling an hour each way and spending weekends in school and then during the week in school. And I mean, and then learning a lot of minutiae. Yeah, it's much easier than that. But thank you, Paula. Oh, and Lynn said a delayed vaccine schedule. Is that what you mean? Slower alternative. So like going slowly with the vaccine schedules. Yeah. There's so many good books on vaccines. I mean, I'm pretty outspoken about it, but I try not to be. But there's so many good books. My library is like big stacks of books on vaccines. Most of them are out of date because I did it back in, you know, 1993 and 4 when I was having my own kids. So... okay, Paula, what's the other question? Oh, the oral microbiome lecture. Yeah. Oh, what happened with that? We were supposed to get that scheduled with Steph. Lynn, do you know anything about that? Absolutely. We will look at that. We'll look at our list and we'll make sure that those things get delivered. I talked to Doreen today and she said she was working on delivery of bonuses, but those were supposed to get started. So we'll find out. Yeah, that's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good one. I think there might have been one or two others, but I'm not sure if they were all delivered yet. Cool. All right. I'm going to see. Okay. And then let's see hands. I don't see any more hands up. So I guess you guys want to finish. Here's the thing. Next week's Thanksgiving. Practice good self-nurturing You can only really nurture others when you're nurturing yourself, truly. Because the more you nurture yourself, the more you have to give to others. So start with yourself. Be a model, a role model. Don't use it as a good excuse to just go off the deep end and start loading yourself up with all the foods that your family eats. I go to an event at my in-laws' house. There's generally 25 to 30 of us there around big tables. Used to be lots of kids. Now the kids are mostly grown. There's just a few little kids. And it's mostly us adults. And the focus is, well, I try to shift the focus to be not about the food, but about the gratitude and the connections and the love. And that's what the holidays are about. That's what this next, you know, month and a half now before the end of the year and the new year starts is really to focus on the connections with people, not like how decadent can the food get. It's so nice to be able to celebrate with nice food, food that tastes good, foods that's celebratory, but also celebrates your health and your life. And the more you do it, the more committed you are to sticking with that and taking care of you, the easier it's going to be for you to communicate it to others, the more they're going to feel your passion and your authenticity and be willing to just fly with it and go, okay, I'm going to do what you're telling me to do. And you'll be surprised. I mean, I go to a lot of continuing ed credit conferences and all, and I speak to my colleagues, and a lot of them are saying, well, how do you get people to actually do all this stuff? I have trouble doing it as they're shoveling down their sandwiches. And I say, I do it myself. I've seen what happens. I've done it for 25 years. I've seen the miracles that happen when people make simple shifts. There was somebody who posted, I think it was on the INE page yesterday. I posted an article about fasting. And it was just like the benefits, the amazing benefits of just a 3-day fast in terms of telomeres and epigenetics and the detox and all. And what happened when I posted it, somebody posted back and I said, oh, I think I'd like to, you know, do a 3-to-5-day water fast. Let's do it as a challenge. Who wants to do it with me? But somebody wrote back and said that she had just done it, like a 3-day, I think it was, water fast. Maybe it was 5, but it made all the difference in the world for her gut issues. So it's there for us, right? These things are there for us. Experiment, try it out, be dedicated. Be dedicated to taking care of you, and then you're going to be better able to take care of others. Don't tell me, oh, I have a sensitivity to gluten. What should I do? I'm going to tell you, avoid the gluten. There's nothing you can do to make up for that microvillus atrophy and destruction. You just have to avoid it. And that's the thing. People want to ask you, well, I know I'm supposed to eat right, this and that, or the other thing, but I'm not going to do it. So what herb can I take instead? Your job is to say, well, you know, I can help you to find some herbs or nutrients that are going to give you some relief. But here's the deal. It's just like pulling out a smoke detector, the battery out of the smoke detector. There's still a fire burning somewhere. I want to figure it out. I want to get you there. Yes, it might take you a few months to get to some of these dietary shifts. Go at your own pace, but know that the sooner you get there, the more balanced your body's going to be. So we just need to be taking a strong stance, and the best way to take the strong stance is to take a strong stance to start on your own self-nurturing and self-care. So I'll get off my pulpit. I'll check to see if any more questions have come in. And let's see. Yeah, they're talking about the slowing down the vaccine schedules. And Rosemary said, my pediatricians insisted on going slow with vaccines, and I'm convinced that at least delayed getting type 1 until adulthood, I don't think I would have survived with the schedule kids are subjected to today. And a lot of them aren't. Yeah. Janine says, last year's Thanksgiving was all organic, even desserts. Hoping for the same thing this year with more gratitude. Ah, I hope for the same thing for you too, Janine. And wishing your family and everybody your wonderful time with family, a wonderful connection. And I look forward to talking to you guys after we get back. So take care. I'm going to open up the line so we can all say goodbye to each other. On the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Bye, everybody. Bye.
Bye, Dr. Anne.
Bye,
everyone.
Thank you for being here.
Bye. 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 You all.